The bringing together of these two ideas, amazed and astonished, happens a couple of times in the Gospel of Mark. But here, both are in the negative sense. Another time, we're told that the disciples are just astonished and amazed at the wonder of what Jesus has been doing among them. But here, the people who think they know Jesus, he's a carpenter, surely. They grew up with him. They know his family. They know his capacities. They know what he's been through. And so they're astonished simply at the claims that Jesus is making. These claims to authority, these claims to know something about the kingdom of God, to be the one who brings it into their very presence. And he's amazed then at their lack of faith, their inability to respond to him. There are all kinds of dynamics that happen and that work in our lives and in the way that a community, a group of people, will work and function together. You get the people who make these extraordinary claims in order to bring amazement to the people who are listening. That seems to be the background today for our reading from St. Paul in this second letter to the church in Corinth. The last few chapters, Paul has been defending himself, has been giving his credentials as an apostle, has been making these declarations about the things that he has had to suffer. In contrast, it seems, to these false apostles, these false prophets who have arisen within the church in Corinth. They're making all these extraordinary claims about these visions that they have had, these words that they have received, these extraordinary spiritual encounters that have happened to them. And so Paul, in a sense, is wanting just to shut them down. And he does it in a wonderful way. It's a shame we don't have the first part of this 12th chapter, where he describes this experience of a friend of his, we're told. Somebody who had this experience. I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation and someone will say, a friend of mine is having this particular problem at the moment. And you're kind of thinking, I don't think it's a friend of theirs. I think it's this person themselves. Well, that's kind of what's happening here with Paul. He's expressing it so humbly that he doesn't even say, I had this amazing experience, where he's been caught up into heaven itself, where he sits in the very presence of God and receives all of these powerful and amazing revelations. He says, somebody had these experiences. And when, unlike the others in the church in Corinth who are saying, yeah, I had this amazing thing just this morning on my way here to church. I, you know, encountered the Lord and he knocked me off my horse and it was just amazing. Paul says, no, it was 14 years ago that all these incredible things happened to me. And then we're told, and the reading comes in at this point, that so that Paul wouldn't get too proud about these things that were beginning to unfold and happen in his life, these amazing spiritual encounters, we're told by Paul that the devil, or the Lord, allowed this thorn to be placed in his flesh. He doesn't tell us what it is. So many people have speculated over the centuries about what this thorn might possibly have been. Was it a speech impediment? Was it a problem with his eyes? Was it an inability to experience this or that? Was it, you know, a physical ailment? Was it a sickness? We don't know what it was. It was so serious that it clearly impacted upon Paul's ministry and life. And so he's begging the Lord. I don't know if you've ever had this kind of thing in your life, where there's this problem, this area of sin, this area that you just want to get rid of this habit. You just want to be free of this area of addiction in your life. And you beg the Lord and you plead with him, please free me from this. And as Paul relates this And as he says, you know, I ask the Lord to take this away. And I ask the Lord to take this away. And I ask the Lord again to take this away. You're expecting in the end, and particularly for us who are so used to these kind of quick and easy answers that are offered by the marketers and the advertisers, to say, yes, if you take this product, if you do this thing, then all of this will go away. Then you will be free. Then you'll be able to experience this freedom and liberation. We expect Paul to say, and finally the Lord answered me, and finally he took away this thorn from my side. But he says, no, the Lord didn't hear my prayer. The Lord didn't answer my prayer. He left me with this thorn. And why? And Paul finally then is able to tell us one of these words of the Lord. He's refused to provide us an insight into these wonderful things that the Lord has addressed to him. But finally now he tells us the one thing that the Lord has allowed him to speak about. When he says to Paul, no, my grace is enough for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Because it's only when you are weak that God can be strong. This week in the church, we've heard through the ABC and the various newspapers, again, new revelations about how terrible these crimes committed by priests in the area of sexual abuse have been, and how shocking they've been on so many families' lives across our country. Where again and again and again, church ministers and then police and magistrates and then other church officials have failed to protect the most vulnerable in our society. Again, we've heard this terrible litany of the sins and the wounds of our church. But it's here that somehow, if only we can acknowledge that we have stuffed it up again and again and again, it's only there that we can hear this word of the Lord addressed to us, that my grace is sufficient for you. We don't have to be strong. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have all of the answers, all of the solutions. But somehow in the midst of that, we need to let God do God's thing in our lives. Somehow in the midst of whatever our suffering, whatever our trial, whatever it is that we're really struggling with, don't try and do it alone. Don't try and pretend that it's not there. Don't try and say this darkness is not part of my life, but to say, God, help me. God, be there in the midst of whatever it is I'm going through, as we acknowledge our sin, as we acknowledge our need of God. And like Paul, once we do that, then we can begin to experience this powerful flowing grace to wash away, to cleanse, to restore, and to give new life. If we allow ourselves to be amazed by the power of what God is wanting to do, if we allow ourselves to be astonished at what God wants to do in our lives, then the Lord will come and do His work. Then the Lord will show us what His power can actually look like. Then He will remind us that, no, my grace is enough for you.